Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Know Your Cinema. This is our very first bonus episode. Hopefully you come along with us as we journey down the rabbit hole of watching the entire MCU in release order. I am your host, Jason Quinn, and with me as always is my equally important co-host, Devlin Clemens, the King of the Ring. This is a very exciting thing for me. I know I've seen all of these movies, except for perhaps the next one that we're watching. I think I kind of TBS that one. Dev, I know you kind of dropped off after like maybe six or eight movies in.
Yeah, I got through like the core of the Avengers, and except for, I don't know, I just didn't get to watch Cap. I just went and watched the first Cap. And then I watched Avengers, and then Avengers, Age of Ultron, and then what's the next one? Avengers.
Infinity War?
Infinity War, yeah. I watched that. That's the last one that I actually seen. But I've seen, like, Guardians, and I've seen all the Iron Man. I didn't watch any of the remade Spider-Man movies, even the Tom Holland ones, so... I'm just not like, I'm not a Marvel guy. I mentioned it in podcasts before of, you know, the previous episodes. I'm a DC guy. You and I are DC guys. I love comic books. I love superheroes. I never got into the Marvel comic books as a kid, except for the Punisher. I didn't really get, like I said, I didn't have a lot of background with the characters. I mean, I know who Captain America is. I know who Iron Man is. I know the players in this movie or these movies. So, but I mean, as far as like being a nerd about them, this is not going to be like the Batman episodes at all. So.
It makes sense. I actually kind of have a unique kind of love affair when it comes to movies and comics and stuff of both Marvel and DC, because I grew up watching Batman the Animated Series and then the Batman movies, and then I also grew up watching the, you know, like the Spider-Man movies and then like the X-Men movies and stuff, and those were like really big things for me. Now granted, none of those have anything to do with the MCU, but I love them a lot. Now as I got older, I started reading comics, because I didn't actually read them as a kid because I was broke and I didn't realize that you could take comics from the library. So I never really got into them until I was like actually an adult. And then when I got into them, I got like real heavy into them. Like I was, you know, I was reading fucking six graphic novels a day and shit for a while and just fucking burning through trade paperbacks and stuff. So when I actually got into comics, Iron Man had already been out, and they were already on their way through the Avengers when I had really even got into comics. So I fell in love with DC's comics, but then I did quite a bit of research into the Marvel comics as well, and following along with some of those storylines simply because of the movies. So I have a fair bit of love for both sides. I do think DC has better comic book storylines, but on the other side of the coin, I think Marvel makes better movies. And so I'm hoping to kind of expand upon that love here and take you guys on this journey with us. And hopefully I can introduce Devlin to some other flicks out there that he's not seen within the Marvel universe, and I'm never going to be able to convert him because there's just nothing better than DC storylines. But
let me be fair. I'm a huge Punisher fan. I'm a huge Punisher fan. So, like, next to Superman, Punisher is my favorite superhero, and he's not really a superhero. He's more like, he's Batman without a conscience. I've said that before. If and hopefully that Marvel brings him into the MCU, it'll be intriguing to watch, and maybe it can convert me. Because I that's the one Marvel storyline that I've always enjoyed, because of there's a crossover with Spider-Man. The original Punisher comic that he appeared in was a Spider-Man, and Spider-Man 129. And so there's an amazing storyline of how Frank Castle starts out, and then they actually give him his own run of comics, and then we get the backstory. So I hope that Marvel actually goes ahead and green lights a Punisher movie, because I think it would be awesome. Even if they just bring him into the MCU, it would be awesome. So I can be converted. It just...
I do think, to be to just, I don't know if you know this, but from what I understand, the guy that played the Punisher in the Netflix series,
yeah,
he is coming into the MCU as the Punisher.
That's what I hear. So yeah. I don't hold my breath.
If that's the case,
go ahead.
If that's the case, the my thought process on when that might happen would be probably this December in the Spider-Man movie. I think that would be a good opportunity for him to appear.
Yeah. If they do the original origin story of Frank Castle and Spider-Man, I think it would be pretty cool. I think that would be a decent movie to drop him in. But like I said, I don't hold my breath. Yeah, and again, we're talking about Iron Man. We're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm sorry.
This is the jumping point of it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not chronologically, but this is the one that started it for Marvel and making that those great Marvel movies. They've made ones previously, the failed attempts of doing it, and you know, they were shooting their shot with this one, but part of why this movie, Iron Man, is so good is it has a great cast. They casted well. The casting director should get a bonus because they casted the right people for the right roles. Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. That's the movie. This is the movie that revitalized his career. And you know, hats off to him for overcoming the things that he did and proving Hollywood wrong. And, you know, Jeff Bridges is amazing in this movie as a villain. And it's odd to see Jeff Bridges as a villain, but he is. Even Gwyneth Paltrow is really well casted for Pepper Potts. I think that she does a phenomenal job in this movie as being that particular character, because the Tony Stark Pepper Potts story is a little complicated, from what I've read, and you know, this is, like I said, this is the, you know, we, or excuse me, we said this is the jumping point for everything that's going to come later on. And I don't know if this was like big picture for them or they just decided, hey, we can tie all this together, but that's what they did. This movie has everything you would want in an action movie. This is not even a superhero movie. This is an action movie. This has despair. This has comedy. This has great action sequences. It has tongue-in-cheek humor. I mean, it has all the things you really want in a good movie. And I forgot watching it how great it was. And I got done with it. I'm like, man, this is so good. I don't know why I haven't gone back and watched this. I'm always blown away by movies that just have this really great quality to them, for action movies. Cause sometimes action movies can just be blood and guts. And you're just like, this is a lot. This is a lot going on. There's not any humor in it, but the action movies that I really like always have a bit of humor in them, and they still keep that serious tone to them. And this is what does that. And for example, action movies that I love that had the serious tones to them are like, I love Boondock Saints. I think that movie is one of the best movies ever made. You know, the 21 Jump Street movies, which I didn't think going into the 21 Jump Street movies, they were going to be any good, but they're really good and funny and inventive and over the top at times. So and that's what you kind of get in this movie too. It's, yes, it's a comic book movie. Yes, it's a superhero movie, but it's still at times very over the top. Like you see Tony Stark and you're like, okay, this guy is just a genius. And like, he's just sitting in his basement. Like he feels like a kid, like a teenager in his mom's basement, just building shit and just like, oh, I got time. I'm just going to do it. I don't have to go to work.
Yeah. It's an interesting kind of side with that because he feels in that way, but at the same time, like he doesn't have to go to work for like his entire life and he can sit on the couch and watch fucking Pornhub for the next, you know, 45 years and it wouldn't affect him at all, like in a negative way, as far as like his finances going on. But like instead of coasting, you know, and being just the billionaire playboy that he could be, he's too smart for that. He just, I don't know, he's just in to tinkering, and I don't know, I feel like there's a quality about that that reminds me a lot of like growing up, and like my uncle was a lot like that. Like, I mean, he wasn't a billionaire playboy, but he was always a tinkerer. So like he, you know, I remember him building like guitar amps in cigarette packs, and you know, he built and designed electric guitars and amplifiers and CNC machines, and like, you know, he would build us like ramps for skateboarding and bikes and all. Just, he was always doing shit, you know what I mean? He was always building something. And so I really appreciate that kind of tinkery aspect that he has to him, and I think that they do a good job of capturing it too, because it's not it feels very authentic. Like if you know somebody in your life that has that kind of a quality about them and is always just working on something, it feels authentic when you watch Tony do that in this movie. It's not just like something that they're trying to figure out how it would look. I mean, Favreau knows that's what the fuck that looks like. So I feel like it's just a phenomenal thing that they're able to showcase there and that aspect of Tony Stark. I think that they do a really good job of showcasing his, you know, his witty humor. Even when, you know, the chips are down for Tony in this movie, he still, you know, finds a way to crack a joke about him. And I think that that's one of the things that audiences fell in love with most in the Iron Man character. And one of the reasons why I think the entire MCU works is because they figured out a way to tell these wonderful complex storylines and they never forget about humor. Like there's not a single movie that I can think of in the MCU that's not at least somewhat funny. And I think that that's one of the things that I think makes the MCU so special is, you know, we watch Justice League and they kind of try to copy it with Joss Whedon little random cut of whatever the fuck he was doing, but it didn't work there. Like they just, those characters aren't built to be funny. Like you can't make jokes. Batman doesn't make jokes. That's just not who the fuck he is. And you can do that with Barry Allen, but the way they cast Barry Allen in the movie is very super awkward. So he's not the kind of person that's going to make a whole lot of jokes. So it just doesn't work as well. But characters in the MCU, Tony Stark in particular, that's who they are. They're funny as hell. Spider-Man's funny as hell. So I think that's one of the things that the MCU does well. And I think that it's kind of a learned quality from the way Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau put this movie together.
Yeah, I think it's because Favreau has no, your thought process is right on it. I just think Favreau understands that he has to bring some form of humor to the movies that he does. I mean, even Elf, which is a great holiday movie. There's a very, very vibrant, funny aspect to that movie. And, you know, that's a reason why it's so beloved and has become a holiday classic, is because it stands the test of time. And the Iron Man movie, while I think, you know, it's going to, technology wise and CGI wise, it's going to not be as looked upon later on. I think the story and how it's put together is still going to be revered in years to come as the starting point for where you want to take a superhero movie.
Yeah. No, I think like you said, this is a movie that is, it has a timeless quality about it in the way that I can see me. I mean, was it 12 years ago that this movie came out? I can see myself in another 10 years still watching this movie and enjoying it. And then I can see myself in another 20 years and still watching this movie and enjoying it. Because a lot of the things that are in this movie, and like you said, I mean, obviously CGI is going to get better with time, but whatever, that's just how it works. But I still think we're going to see this movie, you know, years down the road and still think, man, that was a solid fucking flick. One of the things that I would feel a little bit remiss about not pointing out is, obviously we do get a recast in this, from this movie on to the next one. In the War Machine character.
Terrence Howard.
His last name's Howard. I can't think of what his name.
It's Terrence Howard.
I'm like, man, what is this? Yeah. I knew his last name was Howard, but I couldn't think of his first name. Terrence Howard does a pretty damn good job in this movie, to be fair. He's a solid War Machine. I think, not really War Machine, but he's a solid roadie. And then later to become War Machine. But I think, you know, we get a really good dynamic between him and Robert Downey Jr. The one thing that I feel like is the biggest difference I feel in between the Terrence Howard and the Don Cheadle version of the two of them, in my opinion, is I find Terrence Howard, I don't know what it is about that man, but for some reason, Terrence Howard strikes me as being like hyper intelligent. And I think it's just because he actually is. But like, I don't get a disconnect in the intelligence between Terrence Howard and Tony Stark in this movie, because I feel like, I don't know, there's something about Terrence Howard that has always made me feel like he's a super intelligent dude. And so it's hard for me to see him as somebody who's not on Tony's level when it comes to the intelligence and the things that he's able to pull off.
I just think he's he's the voice of reason for Tony in a lot of situations where Tony needs like that person to like kick him in his ass. Tony's also like that thorn in his side, where like there's that scene where Tony goes and, you know, destroys the insurgents in that village, and he calls him up and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, you got any tech in that area? And he's like, nope. And he's like, well, I got something on the screen right now and it's about to get shot down. You know, like, he knows it's Tony. He wants to hear it from his mouth. He's like, I know this is Tony. This can't be anything but Tony. And he immediately calls him. And Tony's just like, nope, nothing's going on. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm driving with the top down. Like it's normal Tony Stark humor. But at the same time, he's like the character Terrence Howard's playing, just like, I'm not gonna pull no punches. What the hell with you? I'm gonna shoot this thing down. Like, I don't care if you're in it or not.
you can be in it all you want, but you're about to get shot the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, because he's at the end of the day, he's got a job too to, you know, answer to higher powers, so to speak. So he, you know, he can't just brush this off like, yeah, Tony, I don't know anything about this. Like, he's got to do his job. And Tony put him in a very awkward position because that's Tony being Tony. He has a habit of doing that with people that is he surrounds himself with, whether it's Pepper or his driver or, you know, even Jeff Bridges' character in this movie. Tony has this innate ability to just Tony being the cocky asshole that Tony is.
It's so good. I love that. I mean, you know, obviously we get to watch Tony Stark in a bunch of different MCU movies and stuff, but like, I don't ever want to not see Robert Downey Jr. play Tony Stark. Like, I could watch him play Tony Stark in like another, you know, 20 fucking movies and be like, yep, that's what I signed up for. And I'm happy that I
have. Well, Robert Downey Jr. has always been kind of typecast in roles where he plays the cocky asshole. Like in Weird Science, he plays kind of a cocky, like preppy guy. In Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield, he plays kind of that same character as well. Even in Tropic Thunder, he plays that, you know, he plays an actor who's really kind of full of himself and takes his role very, very seriously. And
God damn, that deleted scene is one of the funniest.
I'm just saying, like, but he's been kind of typecast in those roles because he does play that arrogant asshole so well. Like, you want to love him. He's the guy, like, you see him, like, if you didn't know Robert Downey Jr. personally, but you were hanging around him for, like, you know, an hour, or you're just hanging out with him all night, you'd be like, you'd be drawn to him because he's got this like swagger and this aura about how he portrays the characters. Now, I don't know if the guy's like that in real life. I've seen some of his Instagram stuff, and I've seen when his son had a band, he was really out there like promoting his son's band. So he seems like a really down to earth guy, but he just seems like he's always Tony Stark. Like, it just seems like that's his personality and he was built for this role. It's kind of like Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool. Like, if you go back and listen to Ryan Reynolds acting, whether it's in Two Guys and a Girl or the Van Wilder movies, if you just close your eyes, you think of Deadpool now. And then when he played Deadpool, you're like, this is like it fits like a glove.
Oh yeah. It's, and I mean, from what I read, I don't know how true it is. They just signed Ryan Reynolds to, I want to say a 10 movie deal with the MCU to play Deadpool, which in my opinion is a fucking fantastic move. You should always have Ryan Reynolds play Deadpool. So I would love to see in some manner, a Deadpool and Iron Man meet up at some point in time. I think that'd be funny. I think that the two of them on screen would have a fantastic chemistry. Deadpool's an even bigger asshole. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no denying if there was a contest for assholes in the Marvel Universe, it's going to be Deadpool and Tony Stark, you know, competing for each other's, you know, that's just the gist of it. I'd even throw Spider-Man in there too, because Spider-Man's kind of an asshole as well.
Spider-Man's not supposed to be an asshole. Spider-Man is our version of Spider-Man when he comes off as a little bit of a dick. I don't see him as an asshole. I do see Frank Castle's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole for a completely different reason.
He's got just justification. I'm not blaming
him. Frank Castle's an asshole, like, for, yeah, just completely different reasoning. Like, he's not the Tony Stark smartass asshole. He's the He's the let me just, you know, I got a room full of bad guys. Let me just throw a grenade in there.
He's like, he reminds, I feel like Tony Stark has, I wonder, or not Tony Stark, but I feel like Frank Castle has a vibe. It'd actually be the other way around, but I feel like Machi Mack was channeling the Frank Castle asshole when he was in Four Brothers. Like, that's the level of asshole that I got of him. It's just very, like, fucking to the point, you know.
Let me give you a golf clap for saying Machi Mack. Machi Mack in Boston accent. Yeah, I haven't seen Four Brothers in a while, so I know the movie is great. I remember liking it. I just haven't seen it. I think I've seen it once. I just haven't watched it again. So I can't really validate.
My mom's in love with Mark Wahlberg, so
that's okay. Noted.
When they move, when Machi Mack put the Chevy dealership down the road from my ma, she was ecstatic.
She tried to go buy a car and get a FaceTime with Wahlberg.
She was like, she walked in the door. She said, "Where can I get a cat?" And he wasn't there, so it didn't really pan out. And then she dropped the Boston accent.
Oh, that's so good.
But she pulled up in her blasting funky lunch.
Jesus. Your mom's got good.
Anyway, I feel like it's funny, but at the same time, like, you could take that a completely different way, and I'm like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, it's too it's on the nose, like, it's close. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's funny. And then at the same time, I'm like, I could fuck you up for that shit. Anyway, I feel like we've strayed off of Iron Man quite a bit, but
that's okay.
But it's fun. It's fun time.
We stayed in the Marvel universe, except for the Machi Mack stray off there.
Yeah. One thing that I do got to mention before we get into the favorites and stuff, though, is I don't know how many Jeff Bridges movies I've ever seen, like movies where he's in them. So the only role that it comes to mind at all for him, aside from this, is in fucking the bowling one. What the fuck is that shit called?
It's the Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Yeah, my memory shit. So seeing him play the dude and then seeing him play this guy are the only two frames of reference that I can possibly think of right now. I'm not saying that I haven't seen him in other things, but those are the only two things that I can think of. I'm like, man, those are the two most drastically different roles ever played. Like, those are my only two frames of reference for the one for him as an actor. And I'm like, damn, those are two very different characters. But he does a really great job of both characters.
There's another movie that I really love Jeff Bridges in. That's a really, really good movie. It's got Tim Robbins in it. It's called Arlington Road. Okay. It's a really, really good movie as Tim well. Robbins. And then there's a movie called Blown Away with Tommy Lee Jones and Jeff Bridges. It's like a firefighter movie. That's another good one. You know, he's done a lot of, like,
Tommy Lee Jones and I have beef.
Yeah. Well, Tommy Lee Jones and I have beef too. So, but you know, really, he was also in the original Tron.
You know what? I do remember that.
Yeah, he's done a lot of different stuff. You know, coming from an acting family. But I mean, those are really like his biggest claim to me. His biggest claims to fame are those movies there. But I mean, he's done a lot of B movies and hit and miss movies and different stuff like that. But Arlington Road was the first thing I remember seeing him in. Because that movie's different too, because of. Tim Robbins' portrayal in that movie is really superb as well. So that's another like movie that a lot of people haven't seen, but it's really good as well.
You can watch the original Tron on Disney Plus right now, for the record. It is a sight to be seen. Anybody that has Disney Plus and has not seen the original Tron could at least give it a couple of minutes.
I mean, Tron was made in 1982, so.
Oh, but it is. Like, have you ever seen the show The Goldbergs?
I've only seen clips of The Goldbergs.
You'd probably appreciate The Goldbergs. It's fantastic. But in The Goldbergs, they use, one of the kids is obsessed with the movie Tron. And so he starts trying to recreate it. The costume he made to recreate Tron is just as good as the costumes in Tron. Like, it's so bad, it looks like a random like 8-year-old could make them. But like, they're so god awful looking costume. Just like a white jumpsuit and a fucking frisbee with some glow in the dark paint on them.
Nice.
So bad.
Yeah, you know, they tried to recreate the actual theme of the 80s where people tried to make costumes and have the stuff that we can make costumes with nowadays that's readily available.
Oh, it's fantastic that they were like, you know what, we got to do this Tron thing. And it's surprising to me that Disney was like, we should make a sequel to Tron. Like,
Tron was like a hit back in the day, man. Tron was a hit.
The fact that they had the cojones, but they brought it out like so much later, though.
Well, you know, again, CGI and stuff had advanced, so.
And they invested so much money in Tron.
I know, but so I mean, much. It, you know, like you said, they took a shot on something, you know, remakes or sequels, they took a shot on it.
I guess according to IMDb, they are both equally good. They are both a 6.8 out of 10 in the rating scale. So,
yeah, and I mean, it was a box office success. I mean, it almost doubled its budget. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I saw it, but it's just like, it's one of those gambles that I was like super shocked that they went for.
Sequels and 80s nostalgia is something that's in. They had it in the vault. I mean, like, they're like, well, we have the rights to it. Why not?
I guess that's true.
All they do is like get a soundstage and some green screen. They really didn't have to do much of anything.
I imagine the entirety of the budget is just like Jeff Bridges and CGI.
Probably. Yeah. Well, we want to move on to favorite scene, sir?
Sure, certainly.
Would you like to take this or would you like me to take this?
I can go ahead. I think my favorite scene in this movie is probably one of the more violent scenes in the film is, I guess it's also the ending part of it too, but the beginning part of the scene is Tony landing in this war-torn country that's being ravaged by, you know, the pack of people that actually fucked him up in the first place. And then he like just takes them out like, full on single-handedly and kind of rescues the town from his own weapons and stuff. And I think that's just a really cool shot to showcase, because that's really the first thing we get to see of Iron Man doing Iron Man shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that they do a really good job of showcasing his capabilities as a superhero. And the ending part of that scene being him flying away and Rhodey doing the call thing that they're about to shoot him out of the sky is probably one of the funniest scenes in the movie too. So that back-to-back combination of one of the most action-ridden sequences followed by one of the funniest sequences in the movie are fantastic.
I dig it. That's probably my runner-up scene, but my favorite scene is when Tony first decides to go out in the suit and take the flight and try to push it to its limits. The beginning of the scene when he's telling the robot, like, don't douse me with the fire retarding chemicals, and then does all the stuff with the suit and takes it to its limit and freezes and comes back down and then flies back in and then falls through the roof and lands on the car, and then the robot douses him with the fire retarded chemicals again is like, it's so slapstick, it's just so funny. I just appreciate that scene so much. And then there's like a, you know, not a callback necessarily, but when he's reaching, you know, later on when he's reaching for the arc to put back in his chest, and then the robot hands it to him because he couldn't reach it. Like, that's kind of a cool little scene. Like, I hated you for dousing me with the chemicals, but thank you for bringing me this arc reactor so I can stick it in my chest.
Thanks for saving my life.
Right.
That is funny. The little robot is hilarious.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a good little slapstick there. Good little slapstick. Favorite quote, Jason?
Why don't you come back to me on that one? Go ahead and let me think on it.
Okay. It's hard for me to pick one. It's such a quotable movie, so it's really hard for me to just pick one. I don't really have a favorite quote in this movie because there's so many good just one-liners. It's very hard. I'm going through my notes here. I don't know if that was your problem as well.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like you said, there's a lot of really good stuff that happens in this film. A lot of good one-liners. Tony Stark is fucking hilarious. I don't know, man. The persona that he has is fantastic. I love the way he, you know, it's sometimes it's like even little shit that when he first gets that reporter that comes up to him and she's, you know, comparing him to. Who the hell is it? The Da Vinci of our time is what she says, and he says it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint. That's fucking hilarious. And it's just, I don't know. He's so fucking smooth.
I think I got it. I think I narrowed it down. Okay. I think I narrowed it down. It's in the scene where that you love so much, and it's the conversation between Rhodey and Tony, and he said, Rhodey says, oh my god, you crazy son of a bitch, you owe me a plane, you know that, right? And then Tony says, yeah, well, he technically hit me, so.
That is fun. I think, you know what I think I'm going to go with, just because I get an opportunity to go with this. My favorite quote in this movie is going to be, I am Iron Man, because of the fucking gravity that line holds. Like, yeah, nobody else had ever fucking just been like, yeah, dog, that's me. Like, no other superhero had ever done that shit, like, on screen at all. Nobody was like, it's me. But like, here's fucking Tony Stark with the fucking the balls that, like, the biggest balls anybody's ever had. I mean, even just like the fucking flight test has some fucking nuts on it. Can you imagine being like, well, I built this robot thing, and then having the fucking cojones to be like, well, I'm gonna take it to outer fucking space to just test it out?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane to me. Like, I would have been like, I'm gonna take it to the top of my house. Like, that would have been my fucking test run on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at least I probably won't die there. And then this motherfucker's like, fuck it, we're going all through the city, all up in fucking space. But I think that what kind of really showcases the cockiness and the biggest level is him saying, I am Iron Man.
Yeah, no, it really does. You know, and the pushing of the suit, that's Tony being number one, being an inventor and wanting to push the limits of whatever he's inventing. And this is something he knows is very special. So he was willing to die for his craft to do that. But I also think that with Tony coming back from his having PTSD with being, you know, captured over in Afghanistan, he just didn't give a shit if he lived or died. But if he was going to die, he was going to die doing something he felt was right. Because there's a drastic change in Tony. He's still an asshole. And he's still a cocky asshole, but he also becomes more humane, I guess you can say, more of a human. Like, he feels like what he witnessed and what he went through and the sacrifice that the one guy made for him so he could get out of that cave really hit home with Tony. And I think he took that to heart, that he was going to make something of what he built in a cave. He could do better with the right materials. So I think that's a very, very good scene. Like I said, that's another reason why it's my favorite, is because I feel like Tony was, you know, he had spent all that time in the basement working in his workshop, working on that. And he was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna take this thing out. And even Jarvis is like, no, you shouldn't do this. And he's like, whatever, I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
Favorite performance, sir?
I think Jeff Bridges did a fantastic job. I think Gwyneth Paltrow is fantastic. Terrence Howard's great, but it's Robert Downey Jr. I think it's not nothing against the supporting cast. I think they do a fantastic job of holding their own. And if they failed in their roles, we wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have done a great job. This movie wouldn't have done as good as it did. But it's hard for me to look at this movie and then look at the impact that it has later on, even down the road, and not say that the best performance in this movie is Robert Downey Jr.
I agree. Like I said, I think he brings the character to life and makes it as real as possible to the way Tony Stark was portrayed in the comics. So it's definitely Robert Downey Jr. Ratings. I'll go first. It's a 10. Right out the gate, it's a 10. It's a great movie. Great acting, great supporting cast. I don't have beefs with this movie. I feel like it does a great job of setting enough of a story in the beginning, and it doesn't feel like it's rushed to give you background onto what really makes Tony tick and what made him become Iron Man. And I think that it does a good job of setting the stage for future movies without feeling rushed at the end as well. So it's a very good paced movie. So again, technology, you know, with CGI and all that stuff, it's a very, very, you know, good movie, and it's 12 years old. It still holds up. So it's a 10.
Yeah. I'm going to join you on that. I've been sitting here thinking As we're going over it, that's the one thing that's been kind of looming in my mind, like, where am I going to give this a ranking? And it's hard to find a flaw. And if it's the first time tuning in, and if not, then you already know this. I base my rankings on what flaws I can find in the film. And it's hard to find. There's not an acting performance that's out of line. There's not a scene that is shitty or feels like it's gone on for too long or we needed more of it. The pacing's fantastic. The storyline's great. Action's great. Humor's great. They sneakily, you know, backdoor the, I mean, they at the very end of this movie, they you know, we get that little end scene at the end where, you know, fucking we find out that about the Avengers initiative through Samuel L. Jackson as I don't know what the fuck his name is, but anyway, he comes in, he's like, you know, I want to talk to you about the Avengers initiative. That little extra piece on top of the fucking, you know, pie is fantastic. And I think this movie does everything right across the board. So yeah, it's a 10 for me too.
Awesome. Well, folks, that is the first bonus episode in many more to come. Join us for our regular podcast every Tuesday here on Know Your Cinema. This week, if you wasn't paying attention to the Tuesday episode, we are going to be watching Phantasm. So looking forward to that. I know Jason's going to watch that probably later tonight. And we'll have that review for you on Tuesday. So until then, we always like to end the show. And since we're not doing segment two, it's going to be kind of weird. But we always like to end the show with our favorite quotes. Mine comes from my best friend who passed away when we would be watching baseball. He would always look at me, and if the Minnesota Twins were losing, and he would say, "All is right in the world today." And folks, all is right in the world today.
I always like to sign off with the movie quote that means the most to me and that I've grown up living my life by, which is, never take life too seriously because you'll never make it out alive.
All right, folks, join us Tuesday for Phantasm and next Thursday for another bonus episode of Know Your Cinema Podcast. Until then, see you.